Well, today is Mother's Day, and we just want to acknowledge all the wonderful mothers that are here today, and those mothers who aren't with us today, maybe those who've gone on to be with the Lord. And we haven't done this in quite a few years, but I would like to give you the opportunity to obey whichever commandment it is. It's number 5, isn't it? To honor your father and mother. Is there something unique and special you would like to say about your mother today? Anybody at all? I wanted to give you this opportunity to do this. And I know I'm putting you on the spot, but hey, we're having church. That's okay, isn't it? All right, while you're thinking, I know you're thinking. I see all of you looking down and you're thinking, and you're wondering if you should share this. But I just want to honor again my mom. I've mentioned this so many times, but she's 81 years old, and she has about everything wrong with her body, you can imagine. Everything is just falling apart. Matter of fact, one time a few years ago, I was whining to my mom. I said, man, mom, my body hurts. And she got this kind of this holy indignation, and she said, Sonny, you just wait. But my mom is precious. She called me four times on my birthday, and she played happy birthday to me with her trumpet. 81-year-old mom playing the trumpet on the phone. Amen. So I honor my mom today. How about you guys? Anybody want to honor your mom today? Oh, hey. All right, Jim.
Yeah, I like to say, yeah, my mom was always honest with me, you know. She passed this Wednesday, but...
She passed?
Yeah.
This Wednesday?
Yeah, at 7 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, but I'm really thankful for that. That she all, you know, always told me the truth.
How old was she?
She was 94, going on 95. Yeah, she's still driving and stuff like that.
Wow. Is Claudia with her?
Claudia, yeah, down there, and then Marcia came in. Yes. Yesterday down there, and they'll probably be there a little bit, you know.
Well, amen. Let's clap. Clap often for that. Amen. That's beautiful. Brother Steve.
My mother.
You don't need it.
Right here. Gets up 7 days a week at 4:30 in the morning.
Oh.
We meet at the store at 5 o'clock in the morning. Open it up. Allows me to be able to go with my kids to places, baseball, wrestling, or wherever. When I'm out of town, she's always there.
Wow.
7 days a week.
Wow.
Hardest working woman. To me, I'm sure you all have your own versions of the hardest working woman. But this lady here can stay up with any 20-year-old.
Whoa. Amen.
You're supposed to say love it or life. Amen.
I was very fortunate. I had two mothers. I had a biological mother that passed away when I was 4 and a half. And then I was my adopted mother, who put up with me through so many turbulent years. I can't even begin to tell you, but she was always there for me. And she has passed since then, and I am really looking forward to seeing them both when I pass too.
Who else? All right.
I just have to top that one. I had three mothers. I had a birth mother and foster mother. My adopted mother, and so Mother's Day is pretty special. My birth mother died, I come to find out later on in life. I was adopted 2 weeks before I started first grade. My sister was a year younger than me, or my brother was a year younger than me, and my sister a year younger than him. And so as you grow up in life and think about all the things that life brings to you, you wonder why in the world a woman would do something like that. But I'm sure glad she did. And my adopted mother is gone, has been gone since about 10 years now. But my foster mother, still alive, 94 years old. I'm going to see her over in Custer, South Dakota in July. And I told her when I was about 29 years old and we got back to reacquainted, and I sent her a Mother's Day card the next Mother's Day. And I told her, I said, of all three mothers that I had, you know, I didn't know my birth mother that well, and 6 years old, or 5 years old when I left there, but my adopted mother was by far the greatest person in the world. But I said, Joy, my foster mother, had me the most important year of my life, the transition from one to another. And I just feel blessed that I had three mothers.
My mom just makes everything as special as she can. That's it.
My mom is one of the best moms I ever have known because she is like the multitasker extreme. And she could be cooking a meal, washing the kitchen or the entire house, and watching Benjamin, and you could just go up to her and ask her something, and she will always hear you and answer you. She'll always be there when you need her.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about my sweet mama over there. I should be sitting with her on Mother's Day, but when I was little, my legs would hurt, and so my mom would always come upstairs. Every time I'd cry, because I'd cry in my bed, she'd come upstairs and she'd rub my legs, and that's like a picture of what she's done all of my life. She's any hurt or burden I ever had, she always came up right beside me and helped me carry that burden, you know, went through every pain together with me. And one of the sweetest things, I forgot who it was that said, the prayers of my mother have clung to me all of my life, but that's the case with my mom, because in the night she wakes up with a prayer, and someone in the family, whoever's going through the hardest trial, and that word of wisdom that she plants into that trial has been like a lifeline for me all of my life. And so there's not enough words. Everyone knows my mom is the best, and so there's not enough words to say how awesome she is, but no, honor to my mother.
Anybody else? This is so good. Yes, over there. All right. Kathy.
As a child, I thought my mom was a tyrant. I said that to her later in life, and she started crying, and then I felt bad. But my mom taught me values. She taught me that I am a child of God. I love her so much. She's 88 years old. She has leukemia, acute osteoarthritis. But she's a fighter. I'll tell you what. She's got strength that you wouldn't believe in that little body. She's 4'11 and 90 pounds. But she fights with all her heart, and she holds on to her faith in God. She loves the Lord. She passed it on to me. And I thank God for my mother.
When I was about 15, I was a product of a broken home, and so my parents had split, and like a lot of children in that circumstance, I took advantage of it using both of their guilt and their feelings against one another to manipulate them into getting my way. And I'm just telling you this story because it's a reflection of the character that my mother had. I wanted to do something and she told me no. And in the spirit of that manipulation, I told her, if you don't let me, I'm going to go live with my dad. And the next thing I knew, she had me in my bedroom with a suitcase on my bed and was throwing my stuff in. And I began to get afraid and said, Mom, let's slow down. And the next thing I knew, I was at the bus station and she was at the counter buying a ticket, a one-way ticket to Fresno, California, where my dad lived. And I was on the floor of the bus station, which was also a little soda shop and that, and there were people all around. And I was on the floor on my hands and knees begging her, please, Mama, I'm sorry. And you might think that story isn't appropriate, but my mother had a strength of character, and it was strong enough to call my bluff, and I never, ever suggested to her that I should get my way or I should go live with my dad. And the other thing is that I have the good fortune of having had two mothers, her and my mother-in-law, Jennifer's mother, Irma Lee Summers, who treated me far better than I deserved. And I probably didn't treat her as nearly as well as she deserved. But now that she's passed, I genuinely miss her terribly, and her influence on my life was tremendous, and I'm thankful for both of my mothers.
Well, my mom passed away a couple years ago, and she lived over in the Seattle area, so I spent many times going back to visit Mom. But we were a military family, and there were times Dad wasn't around. And talk about a pillar of strength. Mom had to be Mom and Dad. And she could certainly do it. She was 4'11", and boy, did she have some spunk in her. But through all of our travels, we were blessed each time to find a church home, and that was the first thing Mom did, and just instill in us that you need to be in the walk with the Lord, and I'm just thankful for that, thankful for Mom. And even though there were times in life, because you travel so much, it would kind of get you down, especially as a kid. And but Mom was always there, and we'll get through it, and Dad's not here, and this is just the way it is. And it was her walk with the Lord that kept us always going. And I miss her, but I know where I'm going to see my mom and dad.
I never knew my mom. She passed away at the age of 24 with cancer. She gave her life for me. My dad told me that if she would have had an abortion, that they could have saved her, and she chose not to. She left three of us children. But bless her heart, that was, being a very Mormon mom, that was her decision. And I was blessed to have three other mothers, foster mothers, after that. So bless my mommy's heart.
All right, are we done? You have one. All right. You go.
My mom's always there to pick me up when I fall.
Oh, that's good. Always there to pick me up when I fall. That's great. Brother Brad.
Oh, yes, our precious moms. The other night, going through Proverbs, we studied Proverbs 31, and I started to go through there, and it's like, wow. Yeah, I know this person. I know this mom. I know this mom that could sew and stitch and sell stuff in the market and influence us kids with her heart. It was my mom. And I have two moms also. I have a birth mom and then my mom that raised me. And both of them are very precious. And then I have a third mom too, the mother of my children, that is very precious to me. And she blesses our house and our children with her whole heart. And then a little bit left over for me. Thank you, Mother's Day.
I got a real special mom. She died in 2004, back in Iowa. Lived on a dairy farm back there. And on the way to church, I was kind of a brat. She used to spit shine my ears all the way to church because I had dirt in my ears. I was a bad little boy, I guess. But anyway, she was a great mom, and I really think a lot of her. She kind of made me grow up right as a guy like me could be. God bless Mom.
Amen, amen. God bless Mom. Well, I think we're good. We have one other thing we want to do for all the moms here. And so I need all the guys to stand up and then come up here, if you would, please. All the men in the church, come up here, stand beside me, and face these mothers that are out here. And somebody get a picture of this, because amen. All the men and boys here in this church, isn't this beautiful? All right, I think there's more of us than there is of you. But this is a tribute to you, and going to hurt your ears, but here we go. One, two, three. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away.
Hey, I thought that was pretty good.
Thank you, guys. You may be seated. Amen. Oh, it's all right. It's all right. Guys, I hope you know you are on HCTV tonight or next week. Knowing Brad, YouTube. Knowing Brad, he's going to run it over and over and over. Anyway. I realized what time it is, and this being Mother's Day, you guys are going to be so proud of me because this is going to be a 5 to 10 minute sermon, all right? But if you open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 4, the something as we continue on this journey of the resurrection of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit manifested in the early church. And the power of his presence, the power of the presence of the Lord. Matter of fact, I want to encourage you, for those of you who have the time to come out on Wednesday night, we want to spend some time, you know, going and getting some of the meat out of the book of Acts on Sunday. Sunday mornings, we just are barely able to hit some highlights. But Wednesday night is really a relaxed, fun time because we get to share testimonies and prayer requests. And then dig a little bit deeper into God's word. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you, Lord, for our mothers. Lord, the sermon has already been preached, Lord, by the mouths of so many, Lord, tributes to our mothers. Lord, we're so thankful for them. Lord, it's a very tender subject, and we just put our mothers in your care. Lord, those who've gone on, Lord, those who are still with us, Lord, those who are just getting started, we pray that you'll keep your hands around them and bless them, Lord, and encourage them. And we thank you for them, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you'll bless this church and encourage this church and help us, Lord, to continue to seek you, Lord, with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I just kind of want to go over some key scriptures here in chapter 3 and 4. And so in chapter 3, it says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. The hour of prayer being the ninth hour. The ninth hour is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, according to the International Version. That's the way they calculated their time. But I find it, my mind goes back to Jesus saying, could you not tarry with me for 1 hour? Could you not have an hour of prayer? And you probably know that there's many of us, or several of us, who meet here on Saturday morning. We have an hour of prayer from 7 to 8 o'clock. I think Ann gets here like at 5:30, 6 o'clock, and maybe Brother Bill too. But we have an hour of prayer, and yesterday I was wondering, you know, why, Lord, why? What is it about this hour of prayer that you require, you ask us to have? And again, you know that we've been doing this round pin ministry, the horse whispering thing, you know, the equus language, and how there are some horses, mine being one of them, who has to continually go to the round pin to be reminded of that everything is okay and everything is in order. And I realize that's what the round pin is, as with the horse, that's what our hour of prayer is. And the goal for the Lord in our lives is to be able to go with us into all the corners of the earth, to go wherever we go, and carry Him, carry His presence. And the first thing you do in the round pin, and I know I'm rehashing this a little bit, but just bear with me. The first thing you do in the round pin is you have to get that horse's full attention. And the first thing you look for is that ear to cock, you know, and lock in on you. And then the second thing you look for is that head to start going down, you know. And so he's not rebellious anymore. He's kind of submitting, you know, he's recognizing that you're the judge and jury in that round pen. And so he starts to bow his head. And then he starts licking his lips. He starts moving his lips. And I just thought, you know, I know this sounds a little bit hokey, but I thought that's really kind of cool. You know, that's what the Lord, that's what you're looking for. When I came to prayer Saturday morning, He was wanting me to cock my ear toward Him. He was wanting me to kind of bow my head, you know, and say, okay, I recognize, you know, that all this other stuff in this round pen, the sacks and the different things that might be scaring you, are scaring me, the things that I'm dealing with in my life, you have preeminence over that, and I recognize you and submit to you. And then, you know, the fruit of our lips giving praise to His name. And there's just some similarities. He's looking for us to acknowledge Him and it's not that He wants to dominate us or be Lord of our lives. It's He wants to get us out of the round pen. Amen. And so I see that even Peter and John, these mighty apostles who had done tremendous works, they had to go back to the round pen on a regular basis. Guys, do you have an hour of prayer? It's a question. It's a question that has an answer. Are you having time with the Lord? You need to have that time with the Lord so that He can once again get your full attention so that you can have join up with Him. And one of the beautiful things is once that ear gets locked in on the master and the round pin, once that head goes down, once those lips start moving and he starts licking his lips, and once there's this magical moment when the trainer kind of turns just a little bit, about a 45-degree angle, and that horse comes right up to him, touches him on the shoulder. And that magical moment of join-up is what the Lord wants with us when we come to Him in prayer, where we seek His. We realize it's the best place we can be in the world is right up beside Him. And so the waiting for the join-up where we draw close to Him, we follow Him, He becomes our safe place. We learn to deal with the trials and the tribulations that scare us in that hour of prayer. We learn to accept, you know, that His yoke is easy and that His burden is light, and we become one with Him. Amen. And once again, the reason we become one with the Holy Spirit, we become one with the presence of the Lord, is so that we can ride on those high places of the earth, so that we can go over the Rocky Mountain Divide. Amen. And so the Marlboro song can kind of whisper through our ears, you know, and we can breathe in the big sky country. And so we can have the vistas that God wants us to have. That's for you. That's for me. And so we see this with Peter and John. The beautiful thing is once we have this time in this presence of the Lord, we begin to experience supernatural things. In Acts chapter 3, verse 6, it says, verse 4 says, and Peter fastened his eyes upon this man who was lame from his mother's birth. He had been lame for 40 years, if you read it in verses earlier. And Peter fastened his eyes on him. That guy was sitting there begging for something to eat. Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, and he said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said unto him, "Silver and gold have I none." You ever heard that song? "But such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he went walking and leaping, and this is good over here. You guys are in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what happened. I mean, it was a magical moment. It was a magical moment when the disciples were one with the Holy Spirit. And they were walking in the presence of the Lord, and they felt the presence of the Lord. And all of a sudden, they saw in this man that there was faith. He had faith in his eyes. And so Peter said, "Look on us." And he said, "Silver and gold have I none." Amen. Anybody identify with that? Yeah. You know, a preacher said, you know, they can't say that of us anymore. Look at our fancy $1 million building, and look at, you know, what we got here and all the latest and greatest of sound equipment. We can't say anymore, "Silver and gold have I none." And the parishioner said, "Neither can you say, 'Such as I have give I thee,' you know, 'In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk.'" But Peter could. And he looked at him, and he reached down, and he grabbed him. And that guy jumped up. And the Bible says immediately his ankles and bones received strength. And it was a divine miracle. Can you say amen to that? And I believe that's what God wants to do at Last Chance Chapel. I was trying to count this morning. There's 6 or 7 individuals in our congregation who need a divine touch of the Holy Spirit on their life. In their body, let me say. If they don't, they're going to die. Amen to that? But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if we seek the presence of the Lord and we're in tune with Him, the interesting thing about this miracle is that Jesus had passed that lame man. The Bible says he'd been laid there for 40 years. So we don't know how many times Jesus actually walked by that man. But at that point in time, that man didn't have the faith. Evidently, we're not, you know, healing is kind of a mystery, just like the Godhead. But evidently, that man didn't have the faith at that time. But maybe he had heard the teachings of Christ. Maybe he'd seen some miracles that Jesus had done. Maybe he had seen some miracles that the disciples had done. We don't know. We're just kind of speculating. But we do know that Peter, it was a moment he was in sync with the Holy Spirit. He was at one with the rider. He was at one with the rider, and he looked on him. He heard the Holy Spirit speak to his heart. This man has faith to be healed. And so we find out a little bit later, he said, it is through faith this man has been made whole. And through faith in the name of Jesus, this man has been made whole. And folks, that's what I'm coveting here at Last Chance Chapel. How about you? How many want to see? You know, we've had some testimonies of what God has done in the past. Can you say praise the Lord for that? Really supernatural miracles. You know, we've had one lady who asked Woody to build her casket. And he said, "No, I don't believe in death. I believe in life." Did you know she's still alive? Amen. That was like 7 years ago. But you know, we believe. We need to believe and continue to believe. But this is something that I'm coveting here at Last Chance Chapel. Amen. Larry, I heard you had a good report. Can you say praise the Lord for that? Amen. Joseph last week preached on times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Amen. Picked on Bruce a little bit, I heard. That's all good. But we need this time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. I need this time of refreshing. Where my, you know, I shared my testimony of when I received I want to say the initial baptism of the Holy Spirit, when I shared with you how I had this phenomena of speaking in tongues and how my spirit was lifted up. And I shared with that with you guys about 3-4 weeks ago. I can't remember when it was. But you know what? That was when I was 11 years old. Amen. I'm 55 now. And you know, we need this continual renewing and this refreshing of the Lord. And I feel the church needs it. I feel the church needs this refreshing from the Lord. We need, there's healing in the presence of the Lord. Our church needs healing from the physical ailments that are here. This is kind of an announcement, but next Sunday night, just for those who want their cup filled, you know, if you got enough and you feel like you're full and happy as a lark, that's great. Stay home and enjoy your Sunday evening. But next Sunday at 6 p.m., for an hour, unless the Lord wants to take us into overtime, I just want to have a little time of praise and worship here around the altar. I may preach a little bit, may not, but I just want to have a time of praise and worship around the altar and seek the presence of the Lord. How many enjoyed the song service this morning? Amen. I asked Mark, I said, Mark, would you come next Sunday night and play the guitar for us? And so he said he would, and Bethany on the guitar, and a few more. And we're just going to worship and praise the Lord. Oh, by the way, Will and Autumn Parsons will be back next Sunday. Amen. He'll be preaching for us and next Sunday morning service. And so they'll be here that Sunday night. We just want to have a time of seeking the presence of the Lord, because in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so be praying for that. And if you want an infilling or a refilling or a fulfilling experience with the presence of the Lord, I invite you to come. Again, you know, if it's not for everybody, but just those who need their spiritual tanks filled. And so I'm going to be here next Sunday night, and I'm going to say, top me off, Lord. Amen. Top me off. Give me a fresh infilling. All right. A few more things. Revival comes from these times of refreshing. Wouldn't it be fascinating, folks, if we had 5,000 men show up next in a couple of weeks to this church? In Acts chapter 4, verse 4, when they were filled with the Spirit and Peter began to preach after that healing took place, the Bible says 5,000 men were added to the church. And so I know that means probably another 5,000 women. Wouldn't it be just awesome that we just could not fit in this place anymore? Nice, beautiful summer days of Montana. We go out to our amphitheater. Amen to that? We can fit 5,000 people out there. It'll be just absolutely beautiful. I'll call Little John's. We'll get every last one they have out here, you know, and we'll just have a great time. Why not anticipate? Why not covet revival? How many want revival? Did you know that with revival comes persecution? How many want revival? You know, I would be okay with a little bit of jail time if we had 5,000 people on a Sunday. I really would. I would pray like the early church, Lord, for boldness. You know, give us boldness, Lord. And I just think that's so beautiful how they prayed for boldness. They didn't pray for deliverance. They didn't pray that the Lord would protect them from the teeth of the Roman soldiers or from the authority of the Sanhedrin. They prayed, Lord, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word. And I want you to notice also that when they prayed, it wasn't a silent prayer meeting. It wasn't a silent, according to Acts 4, verse 29 and 30, they lifted up their voice. They lifted up their voice. They weren't afraid to lift up their voice. So I would encourage you, next Sunday night, we're going to lift up our voice. Amen. We're going to hoot and holler for the Lord. Lord Jesus, come down. Fill us with your presence. Fill this place with your spirit. Lord, grant unto your servants that signs and wonders can be done in the name of Jesus. Lord, grant healing. Grant the miraculous. And they were all filled, the Bible says. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Wait a minute. I thought they were already filled. Didn't you think they were already filled? In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. But here it is, again, it says that they were all filled again. You know, you need to be filled every day, every week. You don't get a gas tank full one time and you call it quits. You will call it quits on the side of the road. Happened to me last week, driving Will's truck. We need a fresh infilling, just like they did, with the trials and the troubles and the tribulations that we go through here in this life. We need this overflow. You need this overflow. I need this overflow. And God is into the overflow. God is into the overflow. God loves full cups. He loves full hearts. He loves fullness of joy. Life is to be an overflow. You're not supposed to be living on E the whole time. You're supposed to be in an overflow. He has those provisions. He has that abundance of His Spirit. And He wants us to... Jesus lived a life that was full. He lived a life full of compassion. He lived a life full of wisdom from His childhood. The Bible said He commanded those jars to be filled to the brim. And they were filled to the brim, and He turned that water into wine. He took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and with the fragments that remained, He filled 12 baskets full. Jesus, when He commanded those disciples, He said, cast your net on the other side, and they actually obeyed Him. The Bible says that they took a draught of fish that was so much, it filled both boats to the point of sinking. God wants to sink your boat with the blessings of the Lord. He really does. He doesn't want you to live from as a pauper. He wants to let you experience life and that more abundantly. Amen, Brother John. Good preaching. And I know it's time to quit. I just want you to know there's an overflow. There's an overflow of His presence. And we're not going to be weird or anything. We're just going to be like those little tiny birds with our mouths wide open saying, fill me, Lord Jesus. Fill me, Lord Jesus. How many want a filling? Father, you see our raised hands. And Lord, we just little kids saying, feed me. Lord, we know that man cannot live by bread alone. But Lord, we crave the Word of God. We crave the presence of Christ, the fullness of your Spirit. We crave that, Lord. We hunger for that. So fill us, Lord. Fill us, we pray. Lord, today and tomorrow and every day. And we love you and we thank you for it. Lord, and anticipate, Lord, this overflow. In Jesus' name we pray. And the Lord, again, bless our moms. Bless our wives. Lord, bless our children, Lord, with their children. Lord, and let your blessings be upon them in this special day. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks. Have a great, great day. Amen.